Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Our On That Note contributor, professional cellist Robert Cohen, often joins us from remote locations around the world. But this month, he joined Lake Effect's Bonnie North in the Lake Effect studio.
That's because he was back in town for a concert with the Fine Arts Quartet, one he says that was particularly noteworthy.
Not that they're not all special, of course, but one of our guests was the cellist Joseph Luptak, who, let me see, about 25 years ago was a student of mine in London. He's a Slovak cellist. And, you know, we've become such close friends, and we've been working together as well. He runs an amazing festival in Slovakia and plays all over the world, really. And we've been duo partners, and I've been guest of his, and he's been a guest of mine. And our families have sort of grown very close together. So it is always very special to have such a close friend and colleague play with you, and for me to be able to invite him here is a great feeling too. And it kind of reminds me of how many students I've taught over the years. I mean, the very first people I think was when I was touring America when I was about 18 years old, my first tours in America. And one of the things I had to do was to give masterclasses at various musical institutions on my travels. And I don't know if we talked about this before, but I think I looked about 12 years old. And the students I was teaching were all sort of in their 20s. So they didn't even realize that it was me that was supposed to be. I'd be in the room and they'd be waiting for the master to arrive to give them the class, but it was just me. So I had to teach them. I learned to be very, very clear and very, to really demonstrate that I knew what I was talking about, even though I was younger than they were. And now I don't remember any of those students from those days, but a few years later when I started to teach a little bit more regularly, I suppose. So Joseph Luptak became one of my first students in London. And since then, there have been students from all over the world that I've taught, and some of them are particularly people who I've kept in touch with, who I can play with as well. And for instance, Nadege Rocha is a wonderful cellist who I taught relatively recently. She's the kind of the other end of the scale, so to speak, who is now a wonderful soloist and who's played with me, and I've played with her, and we're in touch. And I find it fascinating to play with people who were once students of mine.
I was going to ask you if there's ever a moment when you're in a position where you're performing together where you have to stop yourself from thinking as a teacher, and where you have to remember that, no, we're colleagues now, we're performing together.
Well, I don't think I need to stop myself, but I am kind of amused by the fact that they do, you know, and delighted at the fact that they do things in their own way. I can sort of see some of my roots in there, and I can see what I've helped them with a long time ago. But they've all developed, and, you know, the beautiful thing is to see that they have the freedom to speak in their own way and to interpret it in their own way. And when we're kind of rehearsing and I'm saying, well, what about this? And they say, oh, no, let's try it this way. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. Yes, of course, they've got their own things to say, and it's definitely not going to be what I want, you know. And that is really wonderful. It is fantastic to see that. And I enjoy their individuality. And yet, obviously, you know, being friends and having a history together, there's an enormous respect as well. And it's enjoyable for me also because it makes me feel younger.
Yeah, I was going to say 25 years ago is not possible that you were teaching them.
Right? Oh, yes.
Yes,
oh, yes,
I know.
No, but they kind of, there's a feeling that, you know, they're young people. Nadege is only, I don't know, you know, in her 20s. So there's a feeling when I play with her, I get all that energy from this youthful, exuberant person. And if I think too hard about it, I realize, yes, I'm the old teacher. But at the same time, I feel, you know, I'm so connected with her and the way she plays now, that gives me a kind of boost of energy as well.
Do you find that you learn things from your students when you're performing together, not as teacher and pupil, but as colleagues?
Oh, constantly, yes. I do. Because, and I take some responsibility for this. Like I said before, I think one of the ways that I help people when I'm teaching them is to try to give them that enormous freedom, you know, the facility to do what they want. So when I'm playing with them and they're playing it that way and they're showing me things, I find that so stimulating. And I can show them, look, I'm decades older than you, so I've got a few tricks up my sleeve that you might like to know about now that perhaps I didn't tell you about before. And they also talk about that sometimes, like, oh, you never said things about that when you were teaching me. And I say, well, we're all growing, you know. That was maybe a long time ago, and maybe my ideas have changed or developed since that time.
Or maybe they weren't ready.
Yes.
At that point. I mean, when you talk about things like that, are you talking about techniques or approaches in the music? What kinds of things are they referring to that you didn't tell them about before?
I think sometimes technical things, perhaps specifically to do with, you know, certain approaches to how you move with the instrument. I mean, the fundamentals they understand, and I still work with the same fundamentals. But maybe, you know, there are some thoughts I've had about things over the years that have changed in some respect. And they recognize that. I think perhaps they're scrutinizing me more than I realize.
Well, it's kind of nice that they noticed.
Yeah.
When you think about it, that they're paying attention enough to say, wait a minute, that's different from what you told me 20 years ago.
Yeah. And I like that, I have to say. I really like the fact that they notice things. And it reminds me, of course, that time has gone by, but not in vain.
You're still teaching, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so do you have some students now that you look at and think, oh, I would love to be playing concerts with them in 10 years or 20 years?
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. But I never really thought about it in that way. It just happened in that way. You know, the relationship when you're teaching is such a close one. I mean, you're dealing with, and we've talked about this before, you're dealing with so many psychological questions and approaches, how to be a performer, how to get on the stage. And that means all the baggage that you bring as a person, and then how to play the cello and how to use music and how to fulfill yourself. It's such a, you know, it's really in the psychiatrist's chair half the time when you're teaching. You're dealing with the person, not just the fact that they're playing the cello. So you create a kind of enormous, a serious relationship with somebody, which is perhaps, maybe one could say, kind of paternal in one sense, but also very much as a colleague, because, you know, you want to learn from what they're doing. You say something to them and they respond to that. And of course, they respond it in a unique way. It's not like anybody else responds. So you're having to learn and work with them on the spot. And so this builds this relationship that over years, because sometimes you're teaching them for, you know, perhaps 6 years or 7 years, that closeness, if the personalities really click in a certain way, it inevitably is going to continue, inevitably. I mean, I never assume that, because, of course, one also has to be professional, you know, and then people want to leave you. Maybe they want to go and start with somebody else, which they should do, you know, if they feel that that's necessary, or if they just want to have different experiences. I never expect people to continue keeping regular touch with me, but some do, and some leave it for a while and then come back to me later. And that's always a joy. I mean, it's a bit like having sort of children all over the world, really, that have taken your message, have developed it in their own way, and they're also teaching themselves now. And one of the most beautiful things I get every now and again, a message or have a quick conversation with somebody who says, I tried those things on my students and they're working so beautifully and they really enjoy them. And I'm so pleased that you explained things so carefully and you had those principles and things like that. And they're very, of course, very flattering to me, but it delights me. And the reason I'm telling you now is because it delights me that what they learned, they feel they can pass on so easily and so effectively and so that's one of the nice things that happens when you've somehow been so involved with teaching in a personal way, and it spreads.
Well, you mentioned before we turned on the microphones, a legacy. And it's, you have a recording legacy and a performing legacy, but you also have this other legacy too.
Yeah, and I'm beginning to feel that maybe that's as important as anything through people. It literally lives. I mean, recordings are fine, and they are a snapshot of what you did at a certain moment. But this kind of living legacy, it feels more important now as I get on and have more and more experiences of teaching.
Well, Robert, it is always such a pleasure, and I always learn from our conversations. And it's just so nice to see you as opposed to talking to you over the computer. But I hope you have a wonderful summer, and we will talk next month.
You too. Absolutely.
Robert Cohen is the cellist for the Fine Arts Quartet, and he joins us each month to talk about the life of a professional musician in a segment called On That Note.